All right. Well, thanks for tuning in to the North Peace Roundtable podcast. It is just about 7 in the morning when we're recording this. And so my name's Andrew. I'm one of the pastors at the church. And with me, I was going to say as always, but not, because usually Pastor Don is with me. But this morning we have a very special guest. Why don't you say hello, Corland?
Hello, hello.
Why don't you give like a 2-minute... You know, this is who I am, and then why are you on the podcast with me?
Well, a 2-minute who I am, that's pretty short time window. But who I am is, I've been attending the North Peace MB for a little while. I was born and raised in a Christian home, ended up walking away from God and walking into a lot of things that were really sinful and stuff, dealing with a bunch of sexual sin and stuff. But by the grace of God, God called me back, and I've been coming to church ever since and trying to serve God in every way possible. Mm-hmm. So why I'm on the podcast is because I asked Andrew a little while ago, hey, you should do a podcast on swearing, because I'd been talking with a few friends about that and wondering, you know, what does the Bible actually have to say about swearing? Like, is it that bad? Is it something that we can do a little bit? And I don't know if Don just didn't want to tackle it or not, but Andrew was like, hey, come on down and let's talk about that then. So here I am.
Yeah, Don swore and was like, No, I'm just kidding. No, it was funny because I think a while before you had texted me the podcast question, I remember you had said, hey, if there's any way I can get like involved in stuff at the church. I was like, sure. And you've preached before. And then you sent me that question, and I just laughed. I'm like, okay, here we go. You want to get involved? How about you record this one with me?
Yeah.
So, yeah, the question for this morning, and if you're new to listening to the podcast, yeah, people, you know, email questions or just about life or the Bible or, you know, what does God say about this or that, or just we try and make it very practical. So Corlin's question was something along the line. I don't remember the wording, but, yeah, what does the Bible say about swearing? So I think before we get into, and I like what you, we kind of had a little powwow before we pressed record, but maybe to talk about what we mean by that, like what do we mean by swearing? And then you had said, you know, is that the same as, you know, curse words, swear words, cursing, swearing, is it the same thing or is it different? So I don't know. What do you think about that? When you asked the question, I guess,
yeah.
What does the Bible say about swearing? What did you mean by that? What comes to mind?
Well, when I had originally asked the question, it was definitely more so about, you know, profanity, like modern day profanity, curse words that anybody these days would say, oh yeah, he swears like a trucker. He does, you know, so on and so forth. No offense to any truckers in the listening to the podcast, but you know, just words that people use these days, sometimes as filler words, sometimes to just express how they're feeling most of the time.
Yep.
Not so much when I asked the question, was it meant to be about cursing, like putting curses on people or using, I don't think even when we were discussing it with my friends, we meant, you know, using the Lord's name in vain. We had all agreed at that point that was something that was like a no-go. That's biblically not good to do. And we believe that was sin, really.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think it's good to clarify that, like the F word, the, you know, saying, pardon my French, if you were like, oh, damn, or hell, or that kind of stuff, that's what we're thinking.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's where my brain went when you said, you know, what is it, I didn't really think about, you know, the, I'm going to put a curse on you or whatever, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or even sometimes when the Bible talks about swearing, it's like, you know, don't swear an oath. You know, when you know, I swear on my dead mother's grave,
exactly.
Like that kind of thing. So I think we're more talking about, just profanity, I guess. Or, see, it's so funny because we use curse words and swear words interchangeably. Stop cursing, don't swear, and we mean the same thing, and it might not actually mean the same thing.
Yeah, it's weird how those two words very much so are interchangeable, but they don't mean the same thing in other contexts, right?
Yeah, totally. So I liked what you said too. Okay, so taking the Lord's name in vain. Let's start there, because some people maybe listening will be like, I don't even understand what the big deal about that is. You know, you stub your toe and you say, oh, Jesus, or whatever, and not calling out to him for help.
Yeah, yeah. if you do when you stub your toe, good on you.
Yeah, right.
But I think most of us probably can't say that we do.
Yeah, no, I was praying.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So there's like two passages that, well, so first of all, if you look at Exodus 20, one of the Ten Commandments, this is where we kind of get the whole, you know, don't take the Lord's name in vain. Exodus 20, verse 7. So this is, you know, God's giving the Israelites the Ten Commandments. You don't have any other gods. Don't make a carved image. And then the third commandment is, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. So yes, the Exodus passage is pretty clear, like don't take the Lord's name in vain. And then in Deuteronomy 5, Moses is kind of reminding the Israelites again, and it's almost word for word in 5:11, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. So that idea of taking God's name in vain, like what do you think that means? Is it just saying, you know, oh my God, or like what?
Yeah.
What exactly do you think that means?
The way I would interpret that is that it's any careless use of God's name. Use where you're not actually, you know, praising God or pointing the glory towards him kind of thing. Mm-hmm. If you're just saying it as a filler word or as something to just say, like, oh, well, I just said it. Who cares?
Yep.
If that's your attitude towards using God's name, I would say that's using God's name in vain, because that's not how we're told to use God's name, right?
Yep.
God is jealous over how we use his word or use our words, and his name is a very important word that we're allowed to use. So
yeah, and if you look too, like even in with the Israelites, like God's name was so holy, they didn't when they wrote it down, they didn't even put the vowels. Well, this is in Hebrew, so it's not exactly, but if you think about how we say and write Yahweh, you know, Y-A-A, they would take out the vowels because it was like God's name is way too holy to even write down or even say, which, I mean, we don't go that far. Like, we can say God's name, right?
Yeah.
But it was just, it's interesting that they had such awe and respect for the name of God, which is why it's one of the commandments. Like, you know, we don't just use it flippantly, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So I think the same, like we can, like I said, it's not like we're going, oh, you know, we spell Jesus J-S-S. Take the E in the U.
Yeah,
it's not like,
yeah.
No.
That'll just confuse a lot.
Yeah, like, days, what? So. Who are you talking about? But I think in our culture, even Christians sometimes, we're very quick to just like you said, just careless or flippant with the name of God. And it's interesting, like, even in the way we text, which is weird to even think about, because it's like, well, I'm not really saying God's name. But, I mean, you are. You're communicating,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And I've even been kind of convicted of that sometimes. I don't use, like, the OMG a lot. But there's been times when I've done that, and I'm like, whoa, wait. Like, that's actually, that's just being flippant and careless. So let's delete that. Let's find something else to say. Like,
yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So even it's a good check for, you know, it's funny in the, yeah, in our texting life or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think it's interesting that, you know, you with your friends, it was kind of like, well, no, that's definitely off the table. Like, that's very clear, right? We're not supposed to take God's name in vain. So we just are very careful with how we talk about God.
Yeah, exactly.
But, so that being said, what about all the other words? So
the
all the
language,
all the other, so yeah, I mean, the Bible doesn't say like specific words like don't say the F word, because those words
shalt not use profanity,
because those words didn't exist back in Jesus's day. There was no you know, F word, so to speak.
Yeah.
The only one that I found, which was a I think like a swear word of the day in Matthew 5. I don't know if you remember this, when Jesus says about, he's talking about anger, and then he says, you know, everyone who's angry, this is 5:22, everyone who's angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says raka, which is, it translates, you fool, will be liable to hell, he says.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, so was that like a...
that gets intense really quick then.
So it's like, don't be angry with him. don't insult him. And if you say Raka, you're going to hell. Yeah. It's like, whoa, man, that escalated.
Yeah.
But I just thought, you know, is that an example of, I don't know, a swear word back then that you would call someone, oh, you Raka or whatever. And then, but so there, that was one example of like a specific word that I found.
Yeah.
But other than that, the Bible's not like, don't say the S word, don't say the D word. It doesn't.
Yeah.
But so where do you go then to give us some clarity on like the words that we use? If there's no, is it just kind of like, okay, well then swear words are okay?
Yeah.
Or...
yeah. Cause I mean, personal conviction was a topic that was brought up even amongst my friends. Like, well, swearing should be a matter of personal conviction. Mm-hmm. If you feel convicted to not swear, then don't swear. But if you don't, then have at her. Like, it's all context. Whoever, you know, whatever, whoever, just do as you feel.
Yeah.
And that, I do think that that's dangerous territory to step into, because to some extent, yes, I do believe that God can bring us as people, especially if you've sworn tons in your life, like if that's just what you've known, then yeah, I believe that God can bring you to a point of personal conviction.
Sure.
Where you realize, man, I need to stop this.
Yep.
That being said, though, I don't want to say that and have that be an excuse for people to say, well,
yep,
I haven't really felt convicted about
yep
it before. So like, no big deal.
Yep.
Just because you haven't felt convicted about it doesn't mean that God yep doesn't call us to, you know.
Yeah, and I think you just made a really good point, because there are certain things, like even in Romans 13, Paul talks about, and it's not quite this, but he's saying, you know, well, some of you eat meat sacrificed to idols, some of you celebrate holy days, some of you don't. And he
yeah
says, exactly, whatever your conscience. Like, if you can eat meat, sacrifice, great, but don't make the other person stumble.
Yeah.
So I think there are, that's a good point to make, and we'll get to maybe why swearing is not one of those.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think there are things in Christianity where we would go, no, this is a hard, fast, like, command of Jesus.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And this is not, like, so, and some might disagree with me, but I'm just going to say it anyways, like smoking.
Hmm.
So I remember a guy talking with a guy, and lots of Christians believe, no, smoking is a sin. And I'm like, okay, well, where?
Yeah, point it out to me.
Well, your body's a temple. Well, as they're eating like a Big Mac, I'm like,
Or a Twinkie.
Well, you're not really treating your temple very
yeah
well. But I remember talking to one guy, and he was saying, like, I want to quit smoking, and I'm worried that, and I told him, listen, smoking is really dumb, but it's not a sin. And I know some Christians that are totally fine with, you know, they have a little pipe, and sometimes they have not like a crack pipe.
Yeah.
I want to clarify.
Yeah.
And sometimes they just have like a pipe after dinner or whatever, and it's like, that's fine for them. Okay.
Yeah.
I think that would be a Romans 13
yeah
thing. The only thing I challenged with this guy, I'm like, man, it's so unhealthy. Because he wasn't like, occasionally I'll have a cigar after dinner. It's like, no, he was smoking two packs a day. And I'm
yeah
like, that's super bad for you. I'm
yeah
like, just don't do that. So I think you're right in saying that within Christianity, there are things that we go, yeah, I mean, Corland, you know, I'm just throwing out an example. Corland
yeah
has a beer, and the other guy thinks that that's not okay. Okay, we can live at peace.
Yeah.
So
yeah
swearing, though, or profanity, like, is that one of those things where we go, okay, well, you know, I wouldn't do it, but okay, whatever. Because the Bible's not, like, super specific on which words.
Yeah.
I'm not super convinced. So
I would say that it errs on the side of it not actually being a matter of personal conviction, though.
Yeah.
Like, bold as that might be, I would say that, no, swearing is something that it doesn't matter who you are. It's something that you should at least be trying to use other language.
Yeah.
And I don't think that that's just high-chinning it and saying, oh, we Christians are better because we
no
don't use the F word. Like,
no.
No.
Because there's actually, like, several passages that
yeah
talk about the words that we use. So
yeah
you got one there in
yeah
2 Corinthians?
2 Corinthians 5:20,
okay,
right off the bat, talks and says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us.
Hmm.
If that isn't convicting, like, in all aspects of life, but especially when it comes to the language we use,
yeah.
I personally have had people come up to me and been like, man, you really don't swear, right?
Yep.
It's something people notice.
Oh, absolutely.
Even though everybody swears around us, when somebody doesn't, people yep. notice. If yep. that's something that's different about you, it can open up opportunities to share about God as ambassadors
totally.
Should, right?
Yep.
Even if we think on a really practical scale of what an ambassador would do these days for, I don't know, a large company or the UN, they more likely than not, especially when presenting and in front of an audience or in front of people, they wouldn't go swearing.
Their yeah, they're like, hey, you know, F this. Yeah, yeah, you're like, whoa.
They wouldn't. Like,
ambassador is that?
I mean, we can laugh about that, but that's because it yeah. seems like it'd be a funny thing to yeah. see happen. Like, that's something you'd see in a comedy. It's not something that yep. you would be like, oh, yeah, no, they would do that
that's
to get
normal
their point
talk for an ambassador.
Yeah, exactly. And I can't remember where it is, but you might know. Somewhere in the Bible it talks about with us having such a great crowd of witness.
Yeah, that's in Hebrews, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Hebrews 12 something.
Yeah. Since we're surrounded, let us run the race. Yeah, therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses,
yeah.
let us lay aside every weight and sin and run with endurance the race set before us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, we have people right in front of us all the time. It's not like, like our lives in a lot of ways, especially nowadays with social media and stuff, are not private anymore
yeah.
in a lot of ways,
yeah.
right? We always have an audience, and so making sure that we live and run this race as we're called to, I think, is really important.
Yeah. Yeah. I have, so Ephesians, I have two, like one in chapter 4 and two verses in chapter 5 that get really practical. Mm-hmm. I mean, Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. That's super convicting,
yeah.
but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So, I mean, Paul says, like, yeah, actually, don't let any corrupting talk come out of your mouth. So, I don't think the excuse of, like, well, the Bible doesn't say, like, which words. I mean, Paul just said, like, any word,
yeah. Yeah.
right? Any corrupting talk. And then in chapter 5, in verses 4 and 5, he goes even farther. He says, let there be no filthiness nor foolish talk. He even says crude joking,
yeah.
which are out of place, but instead, let there be thanksgiving. So Paul, you know, inspired by the Holy Spirit, writes to the church in Ephesus, and he says, don't let any corrupting talk come out of your mouth. Don't let any filthiness, foolish talk, or even crude joking. He says those are just out of place among followers of Jesus. So
yeah.
I think that's pretty cut and dry.
Yeah, I would say so.
Like, and it's super convicting because, you know, take aside, because I think this is where Christians can go sometimes. Well, I'm good. I don't say the F word. I don't say the other ones.
Yeah.
But then, like Paul says, like, only what is good for building up. Okay, so if you are constantly tearing other people down with your mouth, that's corrupting talk. He said that's not
yeah.
building people up. So I think it's a real good gut check. Like you said
yeah.
at the beginning, that we all check our hearts, because it's very easy to play the game where you're like, well, I heard Corland swear. I don't say that word.
Yeah.
And then I go and I yell at my kids or whatever, right?
So yeah.
it's like, whoa, Paul says, I think that's why he says, like, there's none of it. No corrupting talk.
Yeah.
Only what's good for building up.
Yeah, and I think if we look at it with that kind of a scale, then I don't think we can ever actually measure up to that. Because even if it's a heart check, that's more than just saying, well, okay, yeah, you're right. I actually do that. I'm going to stop swearing entirely. But if you go and instead of swearing, you just think to yourself, man, that guy's a complete moron all the time. Or like you're consistently even speaking malice against other people in your own mind, putting yourself above others.
Yep.
Well, I would say that that's the same heart issue, just manifested in a different way.
Yeah, yeah. So I think, too, it's, you know, I think sometimes even, like, Christian parents sometimes are like, oh, my kids never say swear words.
Yeah.
And then their kids are, like, just mean and cutting
yeah.
people down. And I'm like, I don't know if that's quite necessarily a win for you. If, like, if there's still corrupting talk coming out of their mouths, right? So,
yeah.
Again, I love it that Jesus sets the bar very, very high, almost knowing that Like, we can't. Like, we can't. None of us can do this on our own. And that's purposeful, I think, because if we could do it on our own, it's like, well, we wouldn't need Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's what the Pharisees were doing. We can do it on our own. We got this. And Jesus comes and says, like, you guys don't even love God. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
So I think it's such a good reminder that the bar is set very high for followers of Jesus, so that we are so dependent on him. Like, we can't.
Yeah.
So I think if we wanted to get real practical, foolish talk, crude joking, swearing, the Bible would say that's just not okay for Christians. It's just inappropriate.
Yeah.
That we should strive to use our words to build people up. And he says even, like, not for those things, but for thanksgiving. Like, that's the goal. You're flipping there. You got another one or what?
Yeah, I got a couple. With that being said, right, like, if you haven't put it together already, our words have importance. Mm-hmm. The content of our hearts have importance as well, but our words have importance.
Yep.
I mean, we were created in the image of God, and he used words to create the universe.
Yep.
That is an incredible gift that he's given us that shouldn't be taken lightly. So to connect that, like, even in a simple passage, and you can call me out if I'm taking this out of context in this kind of discussion.
I should have a buzzer.
Yeah. Wrong. Okay. Yeah, but Ephesians 5, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. If we're imitating God, he used words in powerful ways. And I'm not saying that, you know, if we're like, yeah, oh man,
I can create, like, things.
This is spooky. I can do whatever I want
I
now.
Know what you mean.
No, but like, we are called to be like Christ.
Yep.
And the Holy Spirit in us helps us walk in that.
Yep.
So that being said, words are important. And even in Matthew 12, verse 36, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned.
Mm. Yeah. That's quite a thought, eh?
Yeah.
Like, to stand before God, and he kind of... See, I think we have this idea sometimes, like, yeah, we're saved by Jesus. It's a free pass. But everybody stands before God.
Yeah.
And not based on, right, he says you're gonna be held accountable. Not in the fact of, like, oh, okay, well, you go to hell now because based on what you did. No, we're still saved by Jesus.
Yeah.
But he's going to say, like, Corlin, what did you do with what I gave you? Like, that's an interesting thought. When you think about that, then, every word you say, you're like, ooh, like, I'm going to be held accountable for this kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
So the other passage that it made me think of is in James 3, where it talks about taming the tongue. And again, like, it's like what you said, our words, they're, like, powerful. And so much damage can be done just by words that we say. I'm becoming more aware of this now having kids, like, you know, my 6-year-old and my 4-year-old. It's amazing the power that my words have to either encourage them or, like, destroy them. And I'm starting to become more aware of that. Like, wow, man, my words as a father even carry a lot of weight. Like, and so James 3... Not saying that if you don't have kids, it doesn't apply to you, but it's just starting to be like, wow, I'm becoming more aware of that. But like James says, I'm not going to read all of it, but he says, you know, how great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire, and the tongue is a fire. And it says, you know, it stains the whole body. Like James says that your tongue is set on fire by hell. It's like, okay, are you just being dramatic here? But then he says, every kind of beast, bird, reptile, secret can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue.
Mm.
It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. And this is why he says in verse 9, with it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. And he says, my brothers, these things ought not to be so. Can, like, fresh water and salt water come from the same spring? Can a fig tree bear olives? So he says, no, like, that's just not how things work. That puts it into a whole perspective. You know, we come on Sundays and we're like, yes, we sing, Jesus, you're worthy, we love you. And then we hop in our car and we're like, F you, as we drive home, right? So it's like, he's saying your tongue is praising God and then you're cursing people. And he's like, for James, this is the brother of Jesus, he says, like, that just, how can that possibly be?
Yeah.
So he again, like, raises the bar saying, you're using the same tongue to bless God and curse people. Yeah. Like, it matters what comes out of our mouths.
Yeah, I totally agree. And on that note, I think that if you're, you know, living and talking and not caring about what you're saying, I would, instead of right away looking at the words and saying, okay, well, I'm going to stop using the F word.
Yep.
In all honesty, it's probably not a bad thing if you choose to do that. Mm-hmm. But is that actually going to be the thing that helps? Because there again, even in that example, there's anger or something behind the use of those words.
Yep.
And so I think tackling the heart issue before actually trying to tackle the language issue is
absolutely,
is more important. Because if you just try harder not to swear, it doesn't work.
Yep.
And it just doesn't. It's all around us. Everybody around us is swearing these days. You know, just about doesn't matter what line of work you're in anymore. I mean, I used to hear it said, like, man, yeah, you go work on the rigs and you'll never hear mouths like those. But then you go work in the service industry or become friends with people in the service industry, and it's the same thing. And so our words do have incredible importance.
Oh, totally.
And God has blessed us with that.
Yeah.
So I'd encourage people to build people up with them instead of tearing them
down. And like you said too, I think it's an unbelievable opportunity to share Jesus with people.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what Jesus says. Like, they're going to see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. So sure, like the things that we do, but I also think just like what we say and how we treat people, like,
like
you said, like, I've heard it countless times from guys that work on construction sites or this or that. You know, they spend their days encouraging people and watching what they say, and before long, someone comes up and says, "Why do you do that? Like, why don't you curse and swear? And why don't you whistle at the girls that walk by? And why don't you do this or that or the other thing?" And then there's your opportunity, right? I remember even in high school, I just tried very hard not to just like watch what comes out of my mouth. And I remember like I had friends that, I mean, they were kind of jerks because they were like, they would try to get me to. I'll give you $5 if you say the F word.
Yeah.
But they noticed, like, why don't you talk like we do? Why do you, you know, encourage people?
Yeah.
So on one hand, I think it's an amazing opportunity to witness to people. But also, I think I want to end by, like, what you said about the heart is so true. Because even Jesus in Matthew 15 says, do you not see whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart.
Mm.
And this defiles a person.
Yeah.
From out of the mouth comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual morality, theft, false witness, slander. That's what defiles a person. So even Jesus says, no, it's not just the words that you say. Like, what you say and what comes out of your mouth is evidence of what's going on in your heart. So I think it's bang on, Corlin, that we don't want people to go, okay, I'm not going to, and then not actually deal with, okay, what's actually, like, what is that coming from?
Yeah.
Right? Where's your heart at?
Yeah.
That's the kind of language that you use. I would much rather see someone than still struggle with swearing, but dealing with the heart issue rather than like, hey, look, I don't swear anymore. And they haven't dealt with what's going on in there.
And that heart issue is something that I think, like, I don't want to make that a generic thing, right? Because that can look different for everybody.
Totally.
So I don't even think it'd be fair for us to even lay out like, oh, well, if you're swearing, you're probably actually struggling with this in your heart. Because we are all so different and God has created us all so unique. So I would encourage and challenge you to just take a look and like, are you using them as filler words? Is it something that you do when you're nervous? Is it something, not that being nervous is a heart issue?
No.
But it does point towards deeper struggle, right?
Yeah,
that's what I would encourage you to do, is to look into it.
Yeah,
not in a condemning way.
No,
But in just a way to question, like, am I using my words for God?
Yeah, absolutely. Period. No, that's good. Well, hopefully that's been helpful. I know Corlin has to get to work.
Yeah.
But thanks for hopping on, man.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so hopefully that's been helpful to you. If this is something that maybe you've struggled with or are struggling with, hopefully this has given you some stuff to think about and maybe, do some heart checks. And as always, if there's other questions that come up or things that you're going, man, but what about this or that, you can always email or text or call us and we'll do another podcast. So okay. How is this your first ever podcast?
This is my first ever podcast.
Wow.
Yeah.
You should start like a spin-off show.
Yeah. Okay. I'll go get Don to come do a podcast with me.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. What a jerk. The Corland connection.
Yeah.
I already named it for you. Ooh. Anyways, so have a good day, and we will talk to you again soon.